I believe we're joined by Christopher Black. Are you there, Christopher?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Phil?
Very good, and we're glad to be talking to you. Your article's in the Toronto Star, together with, you co-authored with Graham McQueen. And just for all of our listeners who read the Toronto Star, there's a great picture of Christopher Black along with the article, but his picture is with Graham McQueen, and Graham McQueen's picture is with the description of Christopher Black. But you both look very distinguished, so I guess that's the key thing.
Yeah, that's what we can get at this age.
Yeah. Now, by the way, let's tell our listeners, you've actually, you're very qualified on this. The title is How Canada Can Lead North Korean Peace Talks. You've actually visited North Korea, have you not?
Yes, I was there in 2003 with a delegation from the National Lawyers Guild in the States. We were invited by the Democratic Lawyers Association of North Korea to attend there.
Yeah, I think you both of you have written an article which, if it were used to be, if it actually were to be part of the discussion, would get us going in the right direction. You raise the point that they're going to be meeting in January, but you raise, of course, very correctly the issue of, well, who is meeting? And by the way, it's not entirely clear who's going to be there, right? They say the subtitle on it is those who participated in the war, the Korean War, are going to meet. I mean, that's already sending a peculiar message.
Right. That's one of the things we're concerned about, why we Graham's was the lead on this, but wanted to write the letter was to try and take that meeting into another direction, because the way Rex Tillerson and Chrystia Freeland have described the meeting, it's to put more pressure on North Korea. And as you say, it's proposed that the meeting be composed of people who took part in the war against North Korea in the 1950s. And North Korea is not invited to take part in the very talks concerning itself.
Yeah. And you report that you looked into this, and you don't see any detail, anything to give someone who cares about this a reason to, well, even to understand what they think they're going to achieve. They don't really lay out any context, do they?
No, and it's very difficult to find out exactly there's no agenda published, so we don't know what the actual topic of discussion is going to be, what the real objective of that meeting is. But as we point out in the letter, one of our concerns is that North Korea will perceive it as a meeting to gather the coalition that are willing for war instead of getting a diplomatic initiative going.
Yeah, a group that they have themselves previously met.
right.
On the battlefield.
Exactly.
It's very important. I'm glad this article's there. I hope people will check it out. And, of course, just go to the Toronto Star site and you'll be able to hunt this up. But I recall when I first heard of this, the quote – well, actually, I have to take a step back. When the last little crisis began, it had to do with the missile test by North Korea. And our global minister, Chrystia Freeland, said – this cannot be tolerated. Now, again, that's the wrong foot, isn't it?
Right, because as we say, North Korea has legitimate security concerns, and they've expressed those concerns over and over again about threats from the United States, and that's why they've decided to defend themselves the same way the United States and all the other big nuclear powers defend themselves. And yet they're deemed to be a so-called rogue regime because they do exactly what the big powers do, defend themselves in exactly the same manner that big powers do. So it's not helpful for Chrystia Freeland or our government to characterize them in that way when they really are seeking a diplomatic resolution to the entire problem. And we would hope that the Canadian government reads our letter and takes some of it to heart.
What about the... do you take some heart from the fact that the South Koreans, their hearing seems to be better than the hearing in Ottawa and Washington? They actually are reaching out at the moment. Subsequent to your article, and again, it's the first way it was reported. South Korea and North Korea, I understand, did two things that I know of. One is they reestablished their own hotline with each other, and then the South Koreans opened the possibility of the North Koreans to participating in the Winter Olympics. And the headlines here and in the New York Times began to worry that the South Koreans were getting between us and the other Koreans.
Trying to create
a wedge between between the Koreans are getting together and creating a wedge against us.
And because the position of the North Koreans has been, well, for decades now, that they are willing, and they would, they've asked and suggested several times that they were willing to form a federated state with South Korea. The South Korea keeps its capitalist system, they keep their socialist system, and they form one united country again in a federal system. And gradually, probably, they told me that probably the two systems would merge and end up with something mixed at the end. But that can't happen unless the American occupation forces leave. There's no reason for them to be there. And when I was in North Korea, there were many South Koreans in Pyongyang. I was surprised, but there were many there crossing the border, and because they had strong family connections. It's not really two separate countries. It's one country divided by an artificial occupation. Well, not artificial occupation, but occupation for artificial reasons.
You remember, Chris, you and I have lived long enough to remember when they used to have this line that we have to have an iron curtain, and we have to face them, and we have to push them back because they never leave where they go. And the United States has never left Korea.
No. And
they didn't actually conquer it. They didn't win anything. They just came in when the truce had been struck.
They
stay there.
Yes, they came in and they took – the Soviet Red Army was planning to take over and advance into North Korea to defeat the Japanese there and take their surrender. But the Americans went in to the southern part and took – and the Japanese refused to surrender to the Red Army, so surrendered to the American Army. Hmm. So the Americans ensconced themselves there and stayed there forever since that time.
Yes.
To prevent, obviously, socialism being founded in the South. But it's also pressure on China. I mean, it's quite clear that they also stay there as a threat against China.
Mm-hmm.
So there's bigger – it's not just North Korea that's involved.
Yes.
And China's also under
pressure.
Well,
you could speak to that. And by the way, again, I'm speaking to Christopher Black. He, together with Graham McQueen, had an article in the Weekend Toronto Star, How Canada Can Lead North Korean Peace Talks. And it's a great suggestion complete with practical ideas, which I wish would be implemented. You just raised this point that two countries that border on North Korea are Russia and China. And under Obama and now, what's his name? Trump. What's his name? They brought in missiles, which the Russians and the Chinese point out. They put missiles in South Korea over and against the wishes of the South Korean newly elected president, which could strike China and Russia.
Right.
And that's where countries draw lines, right? They say, I don't care what all the folly-wall. But in fact, you've got a missile there that I have to do something about.
Right, because as the Russians have pointed out several times about the so-called anti-missile system against Iran placed in Eastern Europe, that those missiles are really aimed at Russia, and they're not defensive because they can be converted within hours into launch sites to launch missiles into Russia, nuclear missiles into Russia. So that's a threat to them, and now they've placed them in Asia, on the southeast corner of Asia, facing so aiming that way.
Mm-hmm.
So Russia and China are starting to feel very insecure, let alone the North Koreans.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the proposals, of course, perfectly rational. You say stop insulting them. And is that so difficult? I mean, as you pointed out, the North Koreans have always been open to talking this matter through. They would like a peace agreement, right?
Right.
they're at war with the United States. And all they have is a what do they call it, a truce, I guess.
Right. They told me I met some high-level people back in 2003, and I think the position is pretty much the same, is that they're willing to abandon the nuclear missile defense system if the United States would conclude a peace treaty with them and if the United States would sign a guarantee that they would not attack them I don't think they would necessarily. I wouldn't rely on that myself. But that's all they're asking, and the fact, and they think the fact the United States refuses to do either indicates that the United, they think the United States intends to attack them. That's why they built their system.
Yeah.
Not because of some fantasy in their head, and they're not doing it to attack anybody else. Why would they?
Mm-hmm.
It's just purely defensive.
Yeah.
And,
so basically the position taken by the West and the U.S. is a regime change position, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, change yourself totally, and then we can talk. I guess, and by totally, we will appoint who it is we want to talk to.
Right, and they basically did the same thing against Yugoslavia. There was change your system overnight and allow us to occupy your country or we attack. And that's basically what they're saying to North Korea. But now they run into a problem because North Korea can now defend itself, so they're all in a frenzy about what to do about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't need to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's another way of going about it, which is if they really want peace, they can establish peace. There's no need for war.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that the Canadian government will see the logic of what we were putting forward in that letter,
mm-hmm.
and try and take that meeting into another direction, away from where the Americans seem to want to take it.
Yeah. Well, based on your article, shouldn't all well-intentioned people take this position and then put it to the parties here and to and again to more broadly to the media, et cetera, saying mm-hmm. we're starting, you know, we have to start on the with the right note. I mean, you give them the quote saying the Canadian government said they'd like new ideas. And so you give them some ideas. But other than saying they'd like new ideas, well, actually, I got it. There was a detail. Trudeau did say that Canada had, in the case of Cuba, taken a different tack.
Yes.
That was encouraging. I haven't heard him repeat it, but he did say it.
Right, and we include that in a letter that that's a positive sign. Perhaps there's some elements in the Canadian government that do want to lead it somewhere else. I mean, they see the risk of war if North Korea would be really a risk of war with Russia and China at the same time. So there's very dire consequences if it goes off the tracks here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that perhaps the Americans can be talked into seeing reality and
mm-hmm.
The DPRK is a nuclear state. Why? Because you keep threatening it. Stop threatening it. It won't be a nuclear state, and you won't have to. Why would you be threatening it anyway? Why mm-hmm. are you threatening it?
Yes.
Before it had nuclear weapons. I mean, that's the whole. So
yes.
Canadians have to understand that North Koreans. When I was there, I met people in the army, and I asked them why they were in the army. And one officer, Pan Minjom, said, I'm a writer. I wanted to be a poet. But I'm in the army. My brother's a violin player. I got another brother, a soccer player. We're in the army because we feel the Americans can attack us anytime, so we'll all join the army. But we don't want to be in the army.
Yeah.
Nobody here wants to be in the army. We want to be doing other things in our lives.
Uh-huh.
But that's what we're afraid of. And why do they keep wanting to attack us? We don't know. We don't understand that. And they really don't.
Well, I guess that's encouraging somehow.
Sure.
I want to ask you this about. We should really be severely, I guess, reminding the Americans they really do talk out of both sides of their mouth. Bill Clinton, wasn't it Bill Clinton, who told them, "You stop with your nuclear development and I will supply you the energy."
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. And, you know, they went through the whole exercise of postponement of the developments, et cetera.
Yes.
And then he reneged.
Right. They actually started to dismantle their nuclear plants.
That was dangerous.
The Americans sabotaged the deal.
There must be a few people saying to each other, did you believe that? I mean, they put themselves at risk on his say-so, and then he double-crossed them.
He double-crossed them, and it took Jimmy Carter to bring the North Koreans back. When I was there, the North Koreans really admired President Carter, because at that period he went over to North Korea and cooled things down, and I was told the North Koreans really admire him personally,
mm-hmm.
and realize that there are Americans, like Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico, the former governor, mm-hmm. forget what his role is now, is one of those. There are Americans in high position who would like to have a peace treaty concluded with North Korea. Just we have to get those people into positions where they can make those mm-hmm. wishes effective.
I recall when Carter first came in as president, and he did say He didn't think we needed those troops in South Korea, and he was very nearly impeached over that one.
Right.
Every editorialist said, this guy's about to surrender. I mean, it was amazing. And he was simply said, at that time, I think there were 60,000 U.S. Mm-hmm. troops. I notice they've been bleeding them down since then. I don't know what logistics or what they're up to. But by the way, there's no shortage of U.S. troops in the region if they were to leave Korea. There's no shortage.
I even met them, and you'd be surprised, but we were shocked when we were in a hotel in North Korea. The first day we were there, the first people we met in our hotel were five American Army officers.
Okay. Now we're both in trouble, Chris. Nice going.
Well, we were surprised to see them because this is supposed to be the hermit. Nobody gets in there, but they'd been there for 2 years. They were part of a remains recovery team trying to find the bodies of killed in the war. But they are based in Hawaii. They said they'd been there for 2 years with the complete cooperation of the North Korean government and gone all over the country. So there are communication channels open, which we don't know about. And things taking place we're not aware of. So.
By the way, people who are interested in the green revolution and ecology and all that, the DMZ has become a very interesting zone where all kinds of species are surviving because there are no people around.
Right, right. Yeah, there are some strange consequences.
So you have to get rid of the people. That's all I can think of.
Right, right.
Well, what about this Olympic? It's hard to take the Americans seriously. Donald Trump actually, as you point out in the article, said he would eliminate, and they sort of, the Republicans kind of compete with each other, and then, Joe Biden and others do as well, and certainly Hillary did. Wheel and, just burn them to the ground, every last one of them, one false move. And then he says, and we're all on edge, and they say, if he fires one more missile, and we're all on edge. And then he says, no, I'm not going to do anything until after the Olympics. You say, okay, so we're going to postpone the genocide till after the
Right.
It's a Dr. Strangelove kind of situation.
Right, and it became more absurd because when the news came out that South Koreans had invited the North into the Olympics, and the North Koreans said they were willing to send a delegation because they had sent one of some other games a couple of years ago. I saw a statement by the American from the White House saying that if they do that, then we'll pull out of the Olympics.
Really?
If North Korea is in the Olympics, we pull out of the Olympics.
Really?
It's just childish.
Yeah.
Because they've now.
Well, I find it encouraging.
Russia from the Olympics.
I hope that they invite them and so that the Americans stay home for once and work
on
their steroids.
That's how it is. Yeah. It's just, if I'm like, you're not going to play my way, I take the ball and go home. It's just ridiculous. But
That is Donald Trump's last card is always he quits, right? Or
right.
He just says, I'm not doing that. And so we are dealing with an unstable situation. I just have to say in the last part of this is that I don't quite believe this meeting of the 16th. I wonder if it's even going to come off. I have not seen any publicity or any preparations.
No, just one article. The CBC had an article about it, but there's not been much since that time. And we've heard no detail agenda who's attending, if anybody's attending.
I have a question
about
it. I was trained by people who fought in the Korean War,
and they
told me that the toughest guys we had on our side were the Turks. I don't think the Turks are coming to this meeting.
No, not the way things are going.
it kind of makes
Turkey, Erdogan said that the world is doomed.
Yeah.
Because of the conviction of a Turk in the American courts, the world is doomed by the Americans. So, I don't think the Turks will be there.
No, they can't even cobble together the old gang. This is like the Blues Brothers not being able to get the band together,
Right.
And, I mean, who do we have? It's really the Anglosphere. It's us and the Australians and the Americans. I don't think the British even want to go.
No.
I don't know that May could survive a trip to Korea. Probably not.
It's basically an American affair, and nobody else wants war with Korea, I'm sure. I mean, Russia and China do not. Nobody else wants a nuclear war, because the war would be a nuclear war. Nobody wants that. And the risk now that the continental United States can be hit by large nuclear weapons is a frightening prospect. So peace needs to proceed. I mean, I think John Lennon said, give peace a chance. I mean, there is no other way. Because war is just complete devastation.
Yeah. No, it's again. We need to talk to you when this comes about. I think the date is the 16th, allegedly, yeah. And the article by Chris Black and Graham McQueen is. I said over the weekend. Actually, it's the Thursday, January 4th, Toronto Star. And Chris, I hope you will be able to make time. We'd like to talk to you some more because we want to stay focused on the matter of what happens with Korea.
Okay, very well. And I hope there's something positive comes out of this meeting.
Yes. Well, you've done your part. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having us on. Thank you very much.
Okay, Doug. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.